The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
On this episode of the History Worth Saving podcast, we're talking to a real rodeo clown. Started out as a cowboy, made his way into the entertainment world. Today, our guest is doing what he's always wanted to do, and he's living the dream of the American rodeo. I mean, is there anything more American than a cowboy? Well, listen, the clown, the rodeo clown, the entertainer of the rodeo, does a lot more than what you see. And believe it or not, this is the guy that the cowboys look up to. They keep him safe. Colt Hart, Colt 45 Rodeo Entertainment is his Facebook page and Instagram. You can follow him there. He is joining us now from his home down in South Georgia. Colt, welcome to History Worth Saving. Glad to have you on.
Good morning, and I'm glad to be on. How are you?
You're out at the barn this morning.
Yes, sir.
And you cowboy, as the rodeo will allow, because that is the roots of your upbringing, and that's what you love to do. And the rodeo,
yes. Of
course, helps pay the bills. What are you working on this morning? What are you doing in the barn?
So, like you say, I'm a cowboy. We have animals to tend to, just like any other cowboy. We got horses to feed, couple cows, you know, dogs. You got to get up and handle the business in the morning. They're waiting on us when we get up. But I'm a cowboy during the week and a rodeo clown on the weekends. And you're right, you know, I'm living a dream. It's not everybody's dream, but it was my dream. And we're not getting rich, but we're happy. So we're doing it the way we wanted to do it. And it seems to be working out for me and my family so far.
Well, God bless you. Now, you started out life down there in South Georgia and grew up down there. Then you joined the Navy. Tell me about that, because every boy from South Georgia dreams at some point of seeing the world, I guess.
Yes, sir. I would think they'd want to see the world. You know, I sure did. South Georgia didn't have enough for me, so I had to kind of venture out and see the rest of it. So just to get you going up and to the point of me joining the Navy, I was born into the rodeo industry with my family. My mom and dad both rodeoed. My mom remarried. My stepdad rodeoed. My grandfather and great-grandfather were Florida Cracker Cowboys. That means they worked down in Florida, working cows. And they were already in this cowboy industry. And so I'm like a third or fourth generation cowboy coming into this thing. But we are, in different times than they were. So now a cowboy, you know, you could be a cowboy as a hobby, or you could make a cowboy as a living. And as a kid, my parents worked regular jobs. My mom was a teacher. I looked up to both of them. They both rodeoed and were really successful at it. But they also took care of the family by doing something that wasn't rodeo oriented. But me, myself, growing up, loved it. I did junior rodeo, high school rodeo, college rodeo. So that means I earned a scholarship. I went to Southern Arkansas University for a year on a full rodeo scholarship. It paid for everything. I ended up, like, I think I made some low grades that made me lose that scholarship. So stepped back home for a little while and was going to a local college. And I kept running into a recruiter. And at that time, I was, like you said, I was looking to see the world. I'd already been rodeoing a bunch and saw a lot of the countryside. I'd been to Wyoming twice, Oklahoma a couple times, Texas, and to several rodeos in Illinois, to some finals. Every year I made it to National High School Rodeo Finals. So, you know, I'd seen some of the countryside. I wanted to see more. So I talked to that recruiter one day, and he kind of sparked my attention to some things, and it was about education and, your family won't have to pay for your school and this and that. And so I took the opportunity. So I went and took the test. I did all right and passed it, signed right up. And then I went home and told my parents. It was a shock to them, but it ended up being probably the greatest thing that I've ever done with my life without anybody choosing it for me or putting me in it. You know, it was like something I had to go do. And man, I'm glad I did it. 4 years of the Navy, was on USS George Washington, CVN 73, stationed out of Norfolk, Virginia, Newport News area, and got to go to Italy and Iraq and Greece and Bahrain and Jebel Ali and some of the islands in the Caribbean. Those 4 years meant a lot to me. Still really good friends with the guys that I was close to then and still in contact and close to now. And so the Navy thing was a plus, but totally something different than all my other cowboy friends and family. Something totally different. Like, I'm one of the only ones that I know that was a cowboy and went to the military that I know in my rodeo circuit. There's a few others, but not many.
I had a friend that grew up on a cattle ranch, and he joined the Navy. And I asked him, I said, why did you join the Navy? And he said, they don't have cows at sea.
Well, it's kind of like the reason I got out. Why'd you get out of the Navy? Well, they didn't have enough dirt. That's I had to get right back to the rodeo.
Well, you've made a name for yourself, though. You have made a name for yourself as a cowboy and in the rodeo. And
yes, sir.
This thing is not hard. It's not something that is easy to do. It's hard to do, and it's hard to do for a reason, because you have to have a passion for it. But I think importantly, there's no test for a rodeo clown to take. It's not like becoming a welder or an aircraft mechanic. I mean, there's no test for this other than being in the ring.
It's almost like it's a natural thing. You either got it or you don't.
That's right. And the only way to tell.
A lot of guys will attempt it. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Only way to tell is to get out there and do it.
Let's talk about that, because you started out as a bull rider, if I remember correctly.
Bullfighter.
Okay.
Yes,
now,
sir.
What did you ride in the rodeo, though?
I was a roper. I was actually, I grew up. Okay. Yeah, my dad and my stepdad and my mom both knew how to rope really good. And that means they could catch cows with a lasso pretty fast, faster than the other guys. And that's the competition in rodeo, you know, roping the cow around his head and tying him down and all that stuff. So I was good at the roping events. And that's what earned me my scholarship. I was really a fast roper. But being around rodeo my whole life and just knowing people, and as a kid idolizing the bullfighters and the rodeo clowns. So when I was in junior rodeo, I did ride steers and the junior level of bull riding. I did do that. I was the first year I ever did junior rodeo, I was the all-around cowboy. And that's the championship you want to earn. That means you were the best at all the events. You earn more money than any of the other guys on all the events total. So that all-around championship is something guys still go for, you know. But for me, I'm still a competitor. I'll still enter rodeos sometimes if I'm not clowning one. Or even if I'm clowning one and somebody says, hey, Colt, you want to rope? They'll remember that I was good or something and they need to run. So they'll say, we'll rope with him. He's good. So I still get to compete sometimes. But I focused on something else. I went to fighting bulls, so I was getting paid to protect the cowboys. I was taking a lot of hookings and taking a lot of horns in the ribs and getting tossed in the air over the fence. And as I got a little older and close to like 30, my fiance got pregnant and things started changing. So, you know, you start looking at the danger and the harm that can happen to you, and you see it in your family's eyes. They're watching you. So it was time to step back from the danger part of bullfighting and messing with those bulls. And I got, just so happens, I was blessed that with a witty humor, and I had that rodeo oriented background. So rodeo clowning fit. And when I started being a rodeo clown, the pay went way up and the danger went way down. So it was a better fit for me and my family. Plus, my wife wasn't as mad at me and but didn't have me by the ear. So, so you know, the witty personality really helped, and just mainly knowing the rodeo and how it worked and timing. And a rodeo clown has a purpose, and that purpose is to it used to be to distract the bull, but that's what the bullfighters do now. And the rodeo clown is to distract the crowd when there's any time that things slow down or a bull's taking forever in the shoot and giving their rider a hard time, or if some kind of barrier breaks and they have to hurry up and fix it, while I hide that with my humor. So while that's going on, I spot it and I start talking with that announcer and making the cheers loud, or, you know, do some dancing out there to make the crowd laugh, or give out some t-shirt. It's whatever comes to your mind at that point in time. Tell a funny joke. And then when you look back over there and they're done fixing that bull or fixing that rope, then you kind of end your joke and end your deal, and it's back to the rodeo. So it's like there's a purpose there. And I'm really good at spotting when I need to talk and when I don't need to, and that helps me get my next job.
I think it's great, and I've seen your shows. They're amazing. You do a great job with it. And the cool thing about it is this is a slice of Americana that I think a lot of people don't even realize it's there. Now, we're not talking about the big rodeos that you see on television and all that kind of stuff. Right now, where you're at in your life and where a lot of the rodeos are at is the small town behind the VFW hall, out at the county fairground, wherever it might be. This is where real American cowboys come to ride and prove what they're worth and maybe a chance of earning a payday. How many of these are still going on in the U.S.? Because I think a lot of people don't even think about it.
They don't, but it's like, you know, us cowboys, we don't think about every drag race that's going on, or every checkerboard game that's going on, or every hockey match that's going on. It's going on, but you have to be, you know, into it or looking for it or see a sign to kind of catch on to it. If you're not an everyday, you know, cowboy, a lot of people in the city, they think, oh gosh, I'll still do this. You know, and we're over here like, man, where you been? This is America's oldest sport. We've been getting it since 1850s right. or whatever.
You still stand for the pledge.
Yeah, we still stand for our national anthem. Yes, sir. This is one nation under God. We always do that.
One of the things that struck me about it, and, you know, from the air show world that I participate in and the live event side that I narrate, you don't see that at a lot of professional sporting events anymore. They've just sort of, you know, they'll do the national anthem or whatnot, but they've brought politics into all of that now. And this seems to be, much like the air show world, one of the last bastions of what I remember our country being like, when you would go out and you would see an event like this. You have the grand entrance parade and everybody rides in with the flags. I mean, it's really something to see, a spectacle to see. And it's a look, not only a look back, but it's a look at what is still going on.
Well, it's culture, it's tradition. Yeah, it's culture, tradition, and cowboys, I'm telling you, are prideful about their country, about their families, and about rodeo, and about God. I mean, really, they are. I mean, none of us walk a perfect line, of course, but we are cowboys, and we teach our kids to pray, you know, and we teach them to stand up for that flag, not take a knee, and we take a knee when we're talking to the man upstairs or remove our cover. But we do. We find that important in our lives, and we all embrace it, not just one rodeo. Like, I've never been to a rodeo in California. But over there in California, they do the same thing. Those cowboys, we can walk up to them, and we know how it's supposed to work. You take your hat off, and you stand up for the flag, and you bow your head, and you pray to the man upstairs. And that's just how we look at it, and that's how we see it. So right now in our country, when people are on TV, and they're getting paid the big bucks at NFL, and they're taking a knee because they don't want to stand for our flag, then it really offends us, guys. You know, we're over here like – we're over here like trying to, you know, make our country better. And you're over here as a bad influence and getting paid for it and endorsed by big endorsements like Nike and things like that. So it does drive us crazy a little bit to see that. But hey, we're nobody's going to tell us that we have to stop doing the national anthem or stop doing the prayer at our rodeo, because that is something that is embedded into us. And I think that's going to happen until they stop letting us have rodeos. And I hope that never happens.
I want to talk a little bit about how you can follow these things, because, as you said, you have your Colt 45 Rodeo Entertainment. Is it Rodeo Entertainment?
Colt 45 Rodeo Entertainment. Yes, sir. It's Colt 45 Rodeo Entertainment. And I also have the Instagram page, and that's a Facebook page as well.
And you can follow that for Colt, and you can find out where he's going to be. But if you want to track your local rodeo, if you want to track what's going on at this circuit, talk to us about it, because it's a point system. So
yes,
cowboys
sir.
Come from all over the country to their local rodeo, and they participate in a point system. And then eventually, if you're really, really good, you can wind up now, I guess, in Dallas-Fort Worth for the National Rodeo Finals.
That's right. Well, there's that, and there's so many different ones. There's Las Vegas for the PRCA. That's called the National Finals Rodeo, NFR. This year, because of COVID and everything, they've moved it from Las Vegas to Texas because they're having it at the baseball field there. They're actually going to open up the roof or whatever. But let me just don't get too far away from what we were talking about. But the rodeos have a circuit, and we have, like, I'm a member of, since I'm an independent contractor as a rodeo clown, I work for any kind of rodeo company there is. So we have several different associations and circuits that these guys chase, and they chase all of them because they're doing it for a living. So these guys, I'm a member of five or more associations, and that means I buy into their membership. I buy a $250 membership card, lasts all year long. You get to go to their rodeos, and other people know that you have that membership card, and they call you to work their rodeos and things like that. But the competitors, they follow those around. And that's how they make money. So they make these cowboys that, like, I go to a rodeo to work for the weekend as a rodeo clown. I'm there for, if there's two performances, I'm there Friday night, Saturday night. If there's three, I'm there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But these cowboys, they're coming in on Friday night. It'll be a whole different group on Saturday night because the guys Friday night are headed somewhere else to another rodeo. And the guys from Friday night that weren't there, they all come from another rodeo to our rodeo Saturday night. So they're just chasing these dreams. They may hit six or seven rodeos a weekend. My friends and family, they hit it hard. So they're going all these different rodeos to try to win first place at all of them. You know, some they may win, some they may just play second or third, but they're trying to collect that money, and they add it all up. The people, the associations add it all up, and then at the end of the year, whoever's your high money winner, that's your man. That's your saddle winner, your award end winner. You win buckles and money, and I mean that's how that's determined. So you can go on these different association pages on Facebook and things like that, or Google, and follow them on their websites because they have results for the different ones. And the one I'm mostly involved in right now is called International Professional Rodeo Association. That's IPRA, and that's out of Oklahoma City, and that's where our finals are every year in January. So in January, that's when everybody goes out there and battles for three or four rounds of rodeo, and that's where they win more money out there because there's each round that they have is a lot of money. Then you win an average money, so whoever does the best out there that weekend, they win another check for that, and that all goes to tally up for their year-end cash earnings, and so that guy can walk away with lots of cash and lots of prizes. And also, you know, he gets that clout. The thing is, for cowboys, it's definitely about the money so we can pay bills and keep doing what we love. But it's also about that. It's about that glory. It's about that gold buckle.
It always has been, hasn't it?
Yes, sir. And you walk around with that, but we get to wear our trophies. We're a NASCAR driver. He gets that big cup. He has to put it in his big rich house that nobody ever goes to. Where cowboys get a gold buckle and they slap it on their new belt that they got, and they walk around with their shirt tucked in where you can see that gold buckle shining because they have pride in it.
I want to talk a little bit about the not just what you do at the rodeo and how your act has changed, because I've seen it change. You brought in Magic Mike, your favorite pony. You brought it. you have something for everyone. And the cool thing about being a rodeo clown, as you said, you're the glue that keeps that show held together, and it's an incredible situational awareness that you have to have. And if you haven't been to one, I'm telling you, you got to go see one of your small town rodeos. And if you can go see Colt Hart, go see him. You can follow him at Colt 45 Rodeo Entertainment. They're on Facebook or Instagram by the same name. But talk to me about what you're seeing out in the country right now, because our show, this show, History Worth Saving, is all about great American stories, and it's about bridging that divide. We're so divided right now in this country, and we have shows about every facet of this country, down the left side, down the right side, and the hope, Colt, is that we can have a meeting place, a bridge here on this show to reach out and to people that you might never have met or you might not agree with, and that's the hope. But what do you see out there when you're driving around this great country of ours? What does Colt see right now with our country? Where are we?
Well, I see a lot of things, you know. Depends on what time of year we went this year. Let's just go with this year. I mean, we get to see the beautiful, you know, countryside. I say from my little hometown in South Georgia down here in Waycross, where I'm from, or Patterson's, where I actually live, Patterson, Georgia, small town, one caution light or one red light. But when we leave here, we get to see a lot of stuff. We go past through Atlanta. We get to see all the craziness, what was going on with the protesting. That was scary. We didn't know if we should take our kids with us or not. We saw a friend of ours on Facebook get attacked by the protesters with their truck and trailer, and it was a family going from a high school rodeo. They threw, you know, stuff in at their horses, and it was just crazy. And we saw all this, and it's getting shared on Facebook at the beginning of all the rioting and the protesting. And so we saw that. So we actually had to go through Atlanta where it was at. And we never got involved in anything, but we could see it going on. We got stuck in 4 or 6 hour traffic and had to go a different route, the way around Atlanta, you know. But besides that, we go farther. We go up into Tennessee. We've been to Gatlinburg this year. We've been to the Pigeon Forge. We had a rodeo just outside of there. We've been to Alabama. We see stuff going on in Alabama. There was a lot of action going on over there. I don't know if it was protesting or what, but it was just stuff that there was some negativity going on. So, you know, me and my kids, we're looking out the window just seeing all this stuff as we go by, and it's thankful we are from South Georgia. We're thankful where things are slower, and slower paced and less traffic and less craziness, because it didn't affect us as bad down here as it did those bigger cities. And that's what we saw this year. And that was a little bit scary. And we also didn't get to travel as much this year. We went from having almost 40 rodeos scheduled and written on a calendar to maybe 10 rodeos by the end of this year. And that's a big effect on us, you know.
Well, yeah, your bottom line for sure. But
oh, yeah. So that's when the cowboy stuff comes in, you know. That's when I start riding horses for people, breaking horses that had never been broke and getting paid a monthly pay on those horses. And so that kind of stuff worked. But, you know, we see it all, and we just take it in. But we are blessed that we are from the little town down here where we are from, and this is where we like it. You know, we go off. We're excited to go off, but we're also glad to come home.
I think that's great. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I get out and I look around this country and you start talking to people, not listening to what's on the news and not listening to what you hear on the news, but when you talk to real people, it seems like you get this sort of hope in your heart that maybe things are not as bad as everybody's saying they are.
Yeah, and
the great thing about the rodeo is there are cowboys of every color, every creed that show up, and they have that hope in their heart, as you said earlier, to be the best there is and to participate in this great sport, America's first sport, as you heard Colt say. And I think it's wonderful. Where are you going to be next? Because now we're kind of getting into finals season, aren't we?
Yes, sir. We're getting towards the end of the year, and that's when they start having the finals. So what they'll do is they'll kind of stop at sometime in November, or October or November is when they stop all the rodeos for the year 2020, and that'd be the end of the year. And then they start collecting, you know, adding up all the money that's won and making sure all that's perfect and nobody made a mistake. And then they start having placement for their finals and stuff. And then you get notified as a clown, you know, I'm waiting on the call to see if I got any of the finals and this and that, because you get voted in on these things. So finals time is around the winter. And when you got winter coming, your rodeo's naturally slowed down. It's just too cold outside. The weather conditions change a little bit, especially like in different states than Georgia. It gets very harsh. I mean, we have rodeos from Indiana and Delaware and Wisconsin all the way down to Florida. So it's to have those states slow down on their rodeos, we always kind of slow down and have those finals during those months. And right now, we all look at it as like, okay, we need to make as much money as we can right now and set it back, so we can coast through those winter months. But just so happens in the winter is when Christmas is, and that's when you got to buy all the stuff.
That's right.
So, you know, you're slowing down at a bad time, but you know, we know it's coming.
I hear you. Now listen, you're a traveled man. You talked about your Navy time as we just wrapping things up here and getting closer to the end of the show.
Yes, sir.
You've been all over. You told me one time that you went down to the Canary Islands and that you found out there are no canaries in the Canary Islands.
Yeah, and the same thing on the Virgin Islands. There's no canaries there either.
No canaries there.
I love that you remember some of my jokes. That makes me feel good that somebody was paying attention.
I think it's wonderful what you're doing, and the way that you weave and bob like a boxer out there in that arena is just it's remarkable. I mean, it really is remarkable. And I think a lot of people, they just see the caricature of your nickname, Colt Hart, Colt 45. I mean, it's the perfect nickname for a rodeo guy.
Thank you.
But I think it's wonderful. And none of the kids understand what we're talking about on that, but they can look it up 10, 15 years from now and then they'll laugh too. But here you are out there in this arena, weaving and bobbing around bulls and all kind of craziness, and you just keep the whole crowd entertained. And I think it's fantastic, and I wish you all the best. And, of course, it's Colt 45 Rodeo Entertainment. Now, you're out in the field right now. You working a horse?
Yes, sir. I'm not working a horse yet. It's kind of raining here today, so I'm just kind of I'm straightening up the barn. I just
getting
got done
ready.
Feeding some hay to some stuff, but it's kind of messy today with weather, so I'm not going to really saddle anything up to get rained out or anything. So I'm just taking care of stuff that I can do, you know, that I don't do. When it's not raining, I'm balls to the wall, man. I'm saddling horses, riding stuff, getting kids from school, picking them up and dropping them off. And it's balls to the wall. And then I look forward to that Thursday on Thursday nights when we usually leave out for a rodeo. So I'm like, gosh, is it Thursday yet? Is it Thursday?
Time to go. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm ready to go because I mean, we try to turn our time into money because, you know, we have those days off during the week. And that's when when I say the cowboy stuff kicks in.
I think it's great.
We're looking for that next rodeo. Blythewood, South Carolina, though. That's the next one, November 6th and 7th. And
you can follow along with Colt there and all of his antics and all of the fun there at Colt 45 Rodeo Entertainment. What do you want people to remember about you, Colt?
Man,
when
Colt
it's all
45.
Said and done. I mean, when it's Colt all 45. Said and done.
You
were the greatest rodeo clown to ever walk the face of the world. But what do you really hope that people take away from this?
I just want to go down as a good clown and doing what I love because I don't want any enemies. I just want to have everybody cool with me and I'm cool with them. So the thing is, I care if people like me or not. Some people say, I don't care if anybody likes me. Well, I kind of do. I care if people like me. I want a lot of people at my funeral. It's important to me that everybody, you know, is cool with Colt 45. And I want to not offend anyone. I want everybody that it comes in contact with me and my clown, and I want them to be, you know, their mind taken off of reality and just have fun for those couple hours that they're with me and out there while I'm joking around, you know. So I just hope that I go down as one of the best rodeo clowns ever.
I think that's a great goal, and I hope we have you on this show quite a bit because it's fun to check in with you every once in a while and find out what's going on. I want to come to a rodeo.
Yes.
And I want to just be there in the wings and see what it's like from your end.
You need to come in and hang out with me one time.
We're going to do it. And I'm going to bring you to a show.
Stage and everything. Yes, sir.
Bring you to an air show and we'll get you being a rodeo clown at an air show. They wouldn't know what to do if you ran out there in the middle of something.
Oh, man, absolutely. You give me a microphone, I promise I can make them laugh.
No canaries, you know. No canaries.
No canaries. You know, and I was going to tell you one more joke, man, one before we have to get off, and I know we got to go, but
let's
I was going to tell you. So just you know, a clown has – every rodeo clown has his clown barrel out there to run away from those bulls, and people think you just jump in there and everything's okay. But I was going to tell you, my clown barrel is not a normal clown barrel. My clown barrel is more of a magic clown barrel because when that bull comes and hits it, it turns into a porta potty all of a sudden.
It's dual purpose, right? It would be
that
for
is
me
exactly
too.
Exactly right.
Colt Hart.
If you don't believe me, you could ask my wife. She does the laundry.
Oh my gosh. Colt Hart. Thanks
but
for coming
it's
on,
been
bud.
It's been a great morning with you, Matt. I appreciate the time. But yes, we still stand up, we still pray, and we're all about rodeo.
All right, Colt Hart, everybody. Colt 45 Rodeo Entertainment there at Facebook. Colt, thanks for coming on. Always
yes, sir.
A pleasure.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Listen, if you haven't already subscribed to our newsletter, please do so. You can find it at historyworthsaving.com. And as always, as I say every show, get out there and get to know your neighbor. You can't like them if you don't know them, and you certainly can't love them if you don't like them. Get out there and make it a great day. So long for now, everybody.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.